Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. I'm with Ashley K in Hollywood. So it's an official podcast because she's in Hollywood where everything happens besides life right now.
Yeah. Besides life, yes. It's like dead outside.
So Ashley, what do we got on the docket for today? Remember last week?
Yes, the docket. Well, you know what? I thought, hey, at some point we should cover the topic of something called fit shaming. If you guys have heard of fit shaming before, it's kind of like fat shaming, except for instead of criticizing people for how overweight they are, people now, they criticize people for being too in shape. My goodness. What has this world come to, Adam?
I don't know. It's crazy, right? It's so crazy because it's a really common thing. I don't understand it. So I'm glad that, you know what, I'm really happy that you're doing this one too, because people like almost feel like are starting to feel guilty about putting dedication into something and putting time into it. Like they're like, you know, it's, so I'm glad that you're covering, because you're someone who kind of deals with it. Honestly, if I were to find someone who were to deal with it more than you, I'd have a hard time, because you're following, like, since I've been, you know, with you for so long now, I see all sides of it. It's like, you're in really good shape, and then all these people talk smack, and they're like, oh, you were better when you were thicker, you were better, whatever, you're too skinny. And then when you're softer, everyone, the other group goes, oh, she really lost it. She really, like, let herself go. And I'm like, dude, she's still in shape in both categories. It's just different degrees of it, you know? And it's like, you've really dealt well with it. So let's jump into it. So let's, I guess, go into and defining really what it is and how it happens and how you started with it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I believe this, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not an expert on this topic, but do you find that women tend to get fit shamed more than men? Because you have both men and women on your team. So you kind of run the social media, so you can kind of see when you post a girl's pic or a guy's pic. I would say it's pretty safe to say that women experience this more than men, because it's rare for someone to say that guy is way too muscular or in shape. It's very, very, I guess, rare, unless you're really over the top big. Maybe,
yeah.
But women will get it much worse, I believe.
Definitely, that's definitely much more the case.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I don't have a specific definition for you, but you know, I guess it's just kind of unwanted negativity or unwanted criticism of your body, and people will try to put you down for being too in shape for one reason or another. But I think it's important to differentiate, like, true concern versus somebody just kind of spewing that negativity due to insecurity. So, like, I wouldn't say, like, your mom saying, oh, you're looking thin, you should eat. I wouldn't consider that to be fat shaming, or sorry, fit shaming. But if it's some random person that you don't know online or whatever, and they're telling you, you know, negative things, and I will read you off some of the most popular some of the most popular comments that I see on other people's social media as well as mine. I mean, I don't think I get it that much, but I mean, in comparison to others, I see a lot. And you know, I try to control what gets posted on my page and who comments. And if I see something, I usually just delete it. Sometimes I'll respond, but my responses are more of like a question, like, what was the need to comment this? You know? So I might comment something like that back, but some of the popular ones are, you looked better when you were thicker. I've gotten that so much. I've gotten that a lot. It's like, usually I think guys will say that, you look better when you were softer, you look better when you were thicker, you know? And it's kind of like, I believe everyone has the right to an opinion, you know? But at the same time, would you say that to me in real life? I feel like the standard should be. If you're ever questioning whether to criticize someone or give them feedback, I would say, ask yourself, if I wouldn't say this to someone in real life, I shouldn't say it online. You know what I mean? I think that should be the gold standard. And, you know, people will say, oh, you looked better before. Oh, you looked softer before. And I liked it better when you were thicker. And it's like, okay, well, I feel better when I'm in shape. I do. I don't know about you, Adam, but my thighs rub, you know, it's not comfortable. People think like, see, when I'm off season, even if I'm not like, I wouldn't even consider to be like thick amongst the regular population. But when I do get a little thicker, I'm not as comfortable. I mean, not that I think I look bad. I still think I look good. But from like a physical movement standpoint, I love to be like stealth. I like to be agile. You know what I mean? And there's this feeling when I'm close to show that I feel like I'm almost gliding, if that makes sense. Like my thighs don't rub together. I'm just kind of moving so efficiently. I love that feeling. I do. So whether or not someone thinks I look better before versus now, it's like, who cares? I feel better now. And in a way, it can be kind of insulting because it's kind of like saying, okay, you looked better before. Well, you looked better before, you know, you got wrinkles, or you looked better before you got a whole bunch of tattoos or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Like, who are we to say if somebody looked better before, if they appreciate how they look now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I think the main thing too, where it comes down to is like, I don't know where it stems from. That's really what the thing is. Like, I can't imagine. And sometimes what I see too is it's like people will create a fake account and then leave comments just to leave a comment because they weren't like, I'm like, if it makes you feel that much better to like bring someone down, it makes you feel better about yourself to the point where you have created a fake account to bring someone down just to like give them a stab and make them feel better. Like, I actually feel bad for those people because that's a pretty dark place to be in, to like be leaving negative comments, creating a fake account to hide behind just to bring someone down so you feel like, oh yeah, I got him. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? I just can't imagine even being that person and mm-hmm. like having that little to do with my life where like that is my enjoyment. Like, that's crazy. And I don't know if it's like a jealousy thing where it makes them feel better about themselves to bring someone down who's worked really hard. And that happens with like fit shaming. That happens with people who are like uber successful. Like, there's like, oh yeah, well, he's successful now because of whatever, because his dad had money and gave it to him or whatever, you know. Like, there's always like, there's always just something. And I don't understand why people can't look at it and be like, okay, Ashley's in better shape than me right now, but I'm not going to let that happen forever. I'm going to catch up. Like, using that as motivation, as like a fire, versus being like, oh, I'll just make her feel bad about herself so I feel better, and like make her second guess herself. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from, you know, from people's own insecurities. And instead of like being able to just like bring someone up and being like, yeah, you look great, Ash, and I like, that's my motivation to be better. It's easier to say, oh, you're doing too much, and I caught my boyfriend looking at your stuff, you know, and so now I'm bringing you down. I don't know what the case is, you know, so I don't know where it stems from. Where do you think that like comes from?
Yeah, I think that's, it's some sort of insecurity. I'm not saying that anybody that were to put somebody that's fit down or me down for looking like that, I'm not saying they would want to look like that. I realize maybe there's a good percentage of the population that might think it's too much or too extreme, but to go out of your way to kind of project negativity onto someone you don't know, I do with all my heart believe it comes from some sort of insecurity, whether that be about their own looks, or maybe they can't even get into somewhat of a good, you know, shape, if that makes sense. Like, cause you gotta see sometimes, I mean, I don't wanna generalize, but if you see some of the people that leave their profile unprivate and you look who these people are, they're usually nowhere near being what I would consider to be even normal or in shape, if that makes sense. And I don't know if they've tried dieting before and maybe were very unsuccessful and gave up, and that creates like this inner hate for somebody that not only got in shape but went beyond that, or if it's something totally unrelated. And like you mentioned, somebody achieved something great, somebody achieved a goal, and they can't have that. So they will put somebody down, or not only put somebody down, but I think sometimes, I guess, I don't know if I'm using this word correctly, but as a scapegoat, say it's because of something else. You know what I mean? Like, oh, she only looks like that because she got butt implants, or she only looks like that because she takes steroids, or something, I guess, as an excuse why they look like that, but this person can't get to that level, if that makes sense. And then additionally, it becomes that what we were talking about in the previous podcast, like, oh, you work out all day, that's all you do, you can't even eat anything that tastes good, that sucks, your life sucks, oh my god, I would hate to be you. And then that becomes something as well. And it's like, you know, the reason why we're having this podcast discussion isn't to like vent. I take this pretty well. Like, I don't get sad if somebody says I'm too skinny or too muscular. I don't get like, I don't cry, but I think it's a little irritating. I'll say it's irritating, but it doesn't make me sad. It's irritating because I hate to see anybody in that mindset to where they're very unhappy with themselves, so they have to make others feel badly about themselves. But having, you know, been in fitness and been in social media for a few years, like, I don't let that get to me, but I know that there are girls out there that do. There are people out there that it's like that one comment out of 500 comments that that person focuses on because it's negative, and they start second guessing themselves. Oh, maybe I am too skinny. You know, maybe they're right. Like, you can't let it get to you.
Yeah. And I think that we go into that next, but I've seen that happen a lot. And that happens. It's funny because that happened the other day, and it happened to Anya, and she didn't even like realize it was happening. And it was like, she did his pose. Like, it was like, well, you know, the standard booty pose, that like left leg back, right leg forward, you know, that booty pose in the selfie. And everyone was like, oh, you look great, whatever, like all the nice things. And then like, there was probably like 30 comments or something. And then one comment was like, again, like a private account, secret account with like two, no posts and three followers. So someone created it just for insulting, and was like, oh, that pose you hit when that's all you can, when that's the only thing you have to offer. Right. And like, and it's like, so such a dumb thing, but for Anya was like she, that's the only one she told me about. She's like, oh, someone left this. I'm like, why do you focus on that? You know, why do you focus on that one? It just annoyed me, you know, it was just annoying. And that's all it did. It was just annoying for a little while. But it's like, it's that person, like, one, it's probably someone she knows, you know, like that, like, you know, her boyfriend or something, like her ex-boyfriend or whatever, you know, that type of thing. But it's like, that's what she focused on. I'm like, just block the person, move on. That's what I say to do. Just block and move on. And like, my block list is heavy deep. Like, I'll have people like that I'll meet to, oh, you blocked me. And I'm like, well, you probably deserved it. Like, if I meet them, and I, if you come up to me and you're like one day, like a show or something, and I block you, it's 100% your fault. I only do that if you say anything negative whatsoever. And I don't care if it's just a little negative, I just get them out of my life. You know, there's no point. I think there's no point. If you're not going to surround yourself with positive people and positivity, and like, you allow negativity in your life's going to be negative. So if anyone brings any negativity, even little stuff towards me, I just block them. I don't care. I don't need you. I feel like my social media is very, I go out of my way to educate and give. And to me, the way I see it is like, hey, I'm giving to the world. If you're going to bring any negativity to me, you don't deserve that gift. And so I'm just going to take it away from you. So it's kind of like, so if anyone's blocked out there because you said anything, we're bad and I don't care. It's not going
to
get.
Oh my gosh. I had a guy in the next row come up to me and says, you blocked me on Instagram. Can you like unblock me now? He came up to me in person. I mean, I gotta applaud him. At least he had balls and was like floored about it. But I'm the same way. Like, I will block people or just delete the comment if it's like anything even slightly negative. Even it, backhanded compliments, for example. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you look so good now, but man, before you were perfect. Like something like that. You know what I mean? A compliment is not a compliment if you have to do a but or, you know what I mean? It's actually when people are giving you a compliment and they include the word but, it's not a true compliment. It's a hidden insult. You know what I mean? But I just want to put that out there because I know when you first get started and your body is changing and you're so proud of your new physique and you've lost weight and you gained some muscle, there will be people out there that aren't used to that look. And, you know, I think, again, going back to the family thing, I don't think your mom's fit shaming you. I think when your mom says, oh, you're getting too skinny, it's out of kind of concern, but not enough knowledge to back that up, you know, because that's another comment that I will get sometimes. Looks unhealthy.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does healthy look like? How many pounds equals healthy? And how is it okay for you to say, I look unhealthy, but if I were 20 pounds overweight, you would think that's perfectly okay. She's healthy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like a slap in the face to me because this is like my body that I take so good care of. Like, you know what I mean? I take my vitamins. I make sure I'm getting my nutrition. Like there's, I go to the doctor, I get blood work done. So to tell me that I'm unhealthy, it's like, dude, have you seen my hamstring? Do you think I'm starving myself with this hamstring? Come on, like my hamstring. I'm not eating crackers for dinner. I'm like eating good food, good nutritious food that's very good for my body. And, you know, I don't know what your take is on when people think if you're a certain body fat percentage as a female, you're suddenly unhealthy. Like, clearly, there's a difference between me and somebody who is anorexic, who has, you know, no muscle and is super bony. Like, I have muscle. Muscle doesn't stay on there unless you're eating.
Yeah. Yeah, that low level, where you get to that low level is called essential fat, you know, so... Mm-hmm. That's where it starts becoming like unhealthy, but that level is like, you've never reached it in all your shows. You haven't gotten close to it. You know, essential fat, I have to look at it for a female off the top of my head. No one gets there. So I don't even know where it is. I think it's like closer to sub 10% or something like that. And it's like crazy, crazy low. So that's where like things like will start getting unhealthy. You know, when we talk about like women, like losing their period, you could lose your period at, you know, 20% body fat if your body's just sensitive to you starting to exercise a lot. So like, that's not really the sign of if you're healthy or not. People always associate that, those two. So
yes, and I want you, I'm sorry, before you proceed, because I got a lot of requests for this topic. So maybe it's a good idea to kind of incorporate this little segment into it. A lot of people are asking, like, what's the correlation between losing your period and at a certain body fat percentage, or what body fat percentage do you lose your period? And I will just put it out here right now. I kept all my periods throughout competition, even when I was the leanest, like I haven't lost it. So we're all different, but it could be an indicator perhaps of maybe an imbalance of some sort. If you want to clarify that for the listeners.
Yeah, it's a really hard thing to clarify because it's so case by case. What I can say is that I do a lot of blood tests. Like I probably do, gosh, like eight a week, probably 6 to 8 a week, where I'm in the doctor's office with my, so the doctor's in, he's at the contest rep center, the doctor is here next to me. And so I go in there when I have an athlete in and they'll get their blood tests. And the first question they always ask them is like, hey, do you have irregular periods? And every athlete that goes in there is like, yeah, I have irregular periods. Like it's like probably, you know, 75%. So it's like, it's a large percentage. And then the doctor's always like, yeah, that's everyone who lifts weights and exercises. And it's always like, there's no definite thing. It's not a body fat thing. It's not a diet thing. It's not a hormone. Like, it seems like, you know, it's definitely, it is a hormone thing. But it's not like one person could be perfectly healthy, start exercising, start dieting a little bit, still be 25% body fat, and then just lose their period. And then one person could be like Ashley, who gets stage lean at 14%. You know, and is having her period the week before the Olympia. You know, it's like, it doesn't really correlate that simple on paper. There's a lot more goes into it. It's a lot more individuals. It's kind of like women who had kids and they're lactating. You know, some women who will just start exercising right after pregnancy just stop producing milk. They just stop. You know, and that's something that I have to deal with a lot, because I have a lot of people who have their kid and then they contact me and they're like, I just want to lose this baby fat. I just want to get rid of it and get started again. And I was, the first question, I'm always like, well, are you nursing? If you're nursing, we should probably not diet until you stop nursing, at least to the extreme, because probably half the people who start dieting will just stop producing milk right away. And so if that's more of a concern to you, then we'll wait till they're done. And it's like, it's so case by case. It's just so case by case. And I've actually dove into this quite a bit and seen videos on it and whatnot. And there just doesn't seem to be that much like ironclad, just if you do this, this is going to happen. There just doesn't seem to be other. It's just very, very case by case. So the doctors, same thing. They're like, it's just case by case. But if you stop, a common thing to get it going again is, one, check your hormones. And two, yes, it does seem to be exercise related to some degree. So the way you can, like, if you haven't had it forever and you think it should be better, you know, you stop exercising as much and you start eating a little more, it's pretty common that it comes back. But you should also check your hormones too. So yeah, it's just one of those things, man. It's just not like a 10% body fat, you lose it. At 14% body fat, you lose it. It's just case by case. So yeah, not a direct indicator of health, of course. If someone has 25% body fat and they're still have, they lose it, and someone who's 14% still has it, you know, it's pretty obvious. So there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
There's a bunch of videos on it though. I will say who did a good video on it was Stephanie Buttermore. I think that's who it is. Stephanie, is that Stephanie Buttermore? I think it's her name. She did a good video on it too, that kind of explained it a little more thoroughly too, which is a good video. But yeah, so there you go.
Very good. Yeah. And I know I cut you off from something you were about to say before that. I just wanted to get that out there because I don't know about you, but that was like flooding my inbox. I was asking for topics and questions about podcasts. And yeah, that one was very, very common. That's a very common question. And I think when I started training with you too, I even asked that. So it's good to clear the air and, you know, get that information out there. But I believe you were talking something about essential fat before I cut you off.
Yeah, so what I will say is if you are concerned with that, you know, getting your hormones checked is a pretty big deal for it, you know, a pretty big indicator to find out what's under the hood. I always say, what's under the hood? You know, if you have, you're driving a Ferrari engine, you're driving a Ferrari outside and you never looked under the hood, and one day you realize you have a little go-kart engine in there. You know, you want to see what's in the hood of your car. So your hormones is what's basically the engine of your body. I say, if you're having any questions at all, get your hormones tested. We have doctors in the office we try to keep it really cost effective. And over the years, we've got it to be more and more cost effective. It's not my company. They just are in the prep center, but they charge $150 for like a full panel and a consult with the doctor. And they could do it for you wherever you're located. So if you're in whatever, Utah, you don't need to be in Denver. They'll send you to a lab and you can go from there. So anyway, something that I think everyone should do at some point in their career, especially males should definitely do it, because if you're getting ready for shows, a lot of times, you know, males are using a lot of extra things that like females aren't using. And I think that they should be definitely checking their health when they're using those things. So something to just keep an eye on. And it's so cost effective now, there's no reason not to. So anyway, back to the fit shaming thing. So you went into it with how you deal with it, what you think it's from, where it kind of stems from. And one of the things I think that's important too, is that when it comes from your like significant other, that's the one I think is more difficult to deal with. And I see it pretty common when I have someone who's, let's say I have a female who's, you know, 30 pounds overweight. She's had a boyfriend for 3 years. She's always been 30, 40 pounds overweight. And then all of a sudden she starts getting in great shape and she's confident and she's wearing smaller clothes and taking pictures on Instagram that are like, not even like over the top, but they're just fit girl pictures, you know? They're like, you know, fit girl pictures. It's very obvious when you're on a fit girl's Instagram versus a regular girl's Instagram. So their Instagram kind of turns into a fit girl Instagram. And then it's like a totally different scenario for the guy. You know, and obviously I think the guy gets a little bit insecure because he's used to his girl looking a certain way. He loves the way she looks now. Wouldn't want her to go back to the other way. He loves the way she looks now, but now she's around a lot more, getting a lot more attention. You know, she's at the gym more, there's guys there, he might not be working out, and he might be saying things like, oh, you're getting too muscular, you look like a man, or you're getting too, what, that's usually like the common one, is like, oh, you're starting to look like a man, you know, but when the girl clearly doesn't, like,
yeah, and it's like, well, I that might be an insult to the man then, because I mean, if he, it's like, what guy has this build? I would love to know the ratios. Like, this would be a pretty pathetic guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's sad.
You know, I could see that argument when, like, when a woman goes, like, full on bodybuilder and, like, is trying as big as she can. But when you're talking like the bikini girl, they're nowhere near looking like, you know, getting to that muscular, like manly look. It's like so funny. So
how do it's you like those pictures versus reality kind of thing? It's kind of like if somebody looks like they might be muscular in pictures in real life, like wearing just a hoodie and jeans or whatever, they're gonna look like a normal person, like small. Bikini girls typically are pretty small, so like, bad argument to make for somebody who says that.
Someone who's 120 pounds, that doesn't make any sense. So, so what advice do you have for that girl? Because I'm sure there's some out there who, I think there's two different types. There's one is that girl who, you know, made that transformation. And then I think the other one, which I've ran into too, is kind of the female that's like, maybe like a figure competitor. And she feels great being muscular and feels great being a little bit bigger and loves that look, but is like, she feels like she can only date one type of guy, and that a lot of regular guys don't like her look. But so she's like on that fence of, hey, should I just keep doing this for me because I love it, or should I like be more for society and not be so large because everyone's like kind of giving me that heat about it? Like, what do you, and even I don't really know what to tell that girl. You know, what kind of advice do you have for those two types?
I say like, you know what? Own it, man. Do what you think is best for you. And like I mentioned before, my stage lean body, a lot of people, they might not like that, but I do. I love it. I'm like, heck yeah, I got abs. I can wear crop tops and not worry about sucking it in. My thighs don't rub. I'm feeling good. I'm gliding across the air. Like, so stealth, you know? I love that. The only thing I don't like when I am stage lean is the cheekbones, but that's a different story. Other than that, I love my look when I'm stage lean. That is my preference. It's almost like my identity. Like, I've always been an athlete, always. So to stray away from an athletic build is like, who is that person? That's why the year I took off in 2017, when I gained weight too, I felt like I lost who I was. And it's like, I looked good as a normal person, but I'm not a normal person. I don't want to be a normal person. I want to walk down the street and wear short shorts and somebody say, wow, your legs look like you are a sprinter, or you look like a badass in a good way. You know what I mean? So that's like my thing. I think what makes you happy is going to be what makes you feel most confident. So just like if somebody gets a new haircut, and let's say you love the haircut, you got this haircut, you love it. But, you know, it's going to take a while for your friends and family and boyfriend to get used to it, because it's a whole new you. And then once they start getting used to it, they start to be like, okay, I like it. So I like to compare to that. You know what I mean? So, like, do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel the best. If somebody doesn't like it for whatever reason, well, too bad, it's not them. And if, you know, it's kind of like, You maybe can see who your real friends are, who are supporting you, versus people that are just going out of their way to criticize you for it.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you know, you have the boyfriend who's giving you pressure to not work out as much. Like, you're just basically saying, hey, I'm going to do me, and whatever happens, happens, some scenario, right? Yes. And I think that's what you got to do. Because if that's who you're becoming, and people change, you know, if that's who you're becoming and you're not getting the support, then I'm the same thing. Hey, see ya.
And I say, like, if it's a family member, like your mom, you know, she might have good intentions, but she's going to be a mom and be like, oh, we got to put some meat on your bones. What? Yeah. I mean, my advice would be to just come at it like an educational standpoint. Like, look, mom, no, actually, I'm not unhealthy. I just got my labs done. I'm eating my vegetables, lots of vegetables, and I'm taking my vitamins and staying hydrated. What advice would you give to maybe your family who aren't as accepting with your new body?
Yeah, that one's a little bit more of like, it comes from a good place because they just don't, you know, because like a lot of people's family, like my family, they didn't understand when I was dieting, you know, they would like be like, no, you got to eat more. That's especially like in like a Hispanic family. They're like, you know, eat. That's all they do. They just feed you, you know? So like, so it's when I was like prepping and dieting for shows, it took just an educational process that like, hey, I'm still eating more than you actually. It's just very particular with the foods that it is. It took me like a year to get my mom on board with it. But what's funny is that like I started really, really young. And so she was very concerned. But by the time I was like 16, you know, my mom was already like, she knew it, what non-fat milk was versus regular milk. And she never grew up like that. You know, she's a first generation American. So like, she, you know, she's super from an immigrant. She's an immigrant. You know, she just has no concept of like, I mean, I guess to not just say immigrant, but like my grandpa was a farmer and like super isolated in a small town. And then, so like nutrition was just like, we're just trying to eat, you know, type of thing. So it was like whole milk from cows, like direct from like things like that. So my mom knew nothing about nutrition. But by the time I started dieting and doing this stuff, but I was like 13. And so by the time I was like 16, my mom was like on board. She was cooking chicken breast, buying skim milk, doing veggies, doing Diet Coke instead of regular Cokes. Like, and she got behind it and was like, well, as long as he's eating, he seems to be eating a lot. It's just, it has to be, you know, non-fat this and non-fat that and low carb this or whatever. And so she really got behind it, and it actually helped her too, like understand food and nutrition better. So it was kind of a cool process to teach them. And then they actually ended up turning a corner and getting behind it, you know? So it was really cool. Like when we went out to dinners, you know, we used to go to pizza and stuff like that. And then when we go out to dinner, when I was like, you know, 16 or so, it'd be a lot different. It'd be like, you know, chicken bowl places or whatever, you know? So it was kind of fun. It's a teacher too, and it helped her out. So yeah, I think just educate them, explain it to them, educate them, working with them. Yeah. So
I think, yes, especially the family thing, they're coming from a good place. Obviously they have your best interests in mind, but like you said, it's their instinct to, you know, be very nurturing, and, you know, they want you to eat and they want you to be full. So I think that's definitely the best point, as far as bringing it to your family's attention, because, like, you know, even their comments can sometimes mean even more than just a random person online or whatever, because it's like, you know, they're coming from a good place and you know they're being honest. So when they say, oh, you're getting too thin, like, you start to second guess, like, wait a minute, maybe I am taking this too far. So it's kind of like, you just gotta, it's a process. You gotta educate them and let them know you're okay. You're eating your veggies, you're taking the vitamins and all that good stuff. So I think that's probably the best way.
Yeah.
You know what? So we covered like boyfriends, we covered family, and I would say even friends, kind of like they might have your best interests in mind as well, but they're more coming from like a place of like disappointment, because when you go out, like, you can't eat the pizza and you can't have the mixed drinks with them. So they might be feeling a little bit left out, or that you are kind of distancing yourself from them. I know I do with my friends. Like, the closer I get to prep, I'm like getting so focused on something, I'm less likely to be social. Like, you know, it might take me a few days to answer a text, but, like, you know what I mean? So they might be, you know, coming at it from just like a place of like, what the heck's going on? You're deserting us, kind of thing.
Yeah. When I never drank or anything growing up. And so I was always into fitness, you know, that was my reason for not really drinking, was I was always just into fitness. I just didn't see the calories being worth it, you know? And so my friends loved it because they were like, oh, we're going to go out wherever. And they'd be like, well, is Adam coming? Cause like, I was like, they had a guaranteed designated driver. So it was like, so it actually, for me, it worked out better. And like, no one ever cared, you know, I was always the guy drinking a Diet Coke or water, you know? And so they just, after the first few times of going out with them, it just became so normal that they didn't even say anything, you know? And no one really ever did. So if anything, it's a benefit to be that person, right? To go out and not be, you know, drunk and be help your friends be a designated driver. I guess now there's Ubers and stuff, so you don't really have to worry about that anymore. But no, I think what we got to talk about too is that I think in our like modern day society, like there's just so much, I mean, there's just so much heightened sense of sensitivity in every capacity that, you know, everything's a this, everything's a shaming, everything's a problem. You know, there's before we used to be able to like, when we were younger, you sort of like make jokes. Like with me and my friends, like growing up, like how we used to joke with each other, if we were to say those things now, it's like we used to say like racist jokes to each other and we're all just like having fun. And it was like just fun, you know?
Like, yeah, that was the thing back then, you know, times have changed. Even like the lingo we used in like middle school that was casual, like if you said it now, people would be like,
oh yeah, we were like all over. We would call each other fat and skinny and racist jokes and mom jokes and all these just things. And it was like, but it was just normal. It was fine. But now it's like, none of that would be okay what we would say, you know? So like I think that some of the things that have changed, it's just too, has been like this, like accepting and push towards anybody is like any body type is a good body type, and that beauty is all body types. And I think that some of that is okay. I think for confidence reason, I think that it's absolutely okay. But I think if anytime you're promoting that someone who's extremely overweight is good, is a bad thing to be promoting to the public, because you know, it's extremely unhealthy, especially like you're talking about the times that we're in now where we're dealing with like this COVID-19. Like there's a direct correlation of health and your immunity with obesity and your likelihood to survive things like this, the healthier you are. So I think that like there's a certain point where that accepting sensitivity, like where you're and promoting being overweight there's a very slippery slope there. And I think that because we've gone so far into accepting these things, that seeing someone who's healthy and in shape now becomes like a bad thing, like it almost
hypocritical.
Because more people are overweight than are in shape, so more towards the society has gone more towards the line of, hey, this is okay, and now you're too much. But before, it wasn't like you're too much, it wasn't really a thing, you know. But now it's like, oh, because 70% of people are overweight, you're too much. But really, you're better prepared and healthier than the other 70%. So like I think that is where a lot of this comes from too. And that needs to be like out there. And I think it just needs to be like, there needs to be an education process. Yes, there's no reason that someone who's overweight is ugly, and there's no reason that someone who's shredded is ugly, but there is a health part of this, you know, that's the biggest, most important part of it. You know, when you're in shape for a show and you're, you know, in 20%, when you're 20% or to all the way to, you know, 16%, you're at your healthiest, most optimal stage, you know? And when you're over 30%, you're obese. That's just the facts, you know? And you're more likely for heart disease, you're more likely for diabetes, you're more likely for all these different things. And so we like, it's not just about looks, you know, it's about health too, you know? So I don't know. I think that a little bit of, because the masses are in that overweight category, I think that they're winning that battle a little bit in terms of like acceptability and where it can be like almost like fit shaming could make more sense. Because now it's like, and then we're not talking about health. We're like, oh, any body type is beautiful. Why do you have to do these extremes? It's almost like being fit is like being anorexic now.
And yeah, I'm like, no, the big difference.
Exactly. Fit is fit. Anorexic is anorexic. And obese is still obese. Like that's never changed. Those things are still healthy or not healthy. And fit is the only healthy one. You know, so like, so I think that's part of where this comes from too. And now, it's almost like you choose a side, you know, you choose a side, but everyone should be choosing health side. There's no argument. You know, everyone should be choosing health side. That's it. You know, it's not like overweight side or underweight side. It's just what's my healthy, and that's what side I'm choosing besides the size, you know?
Yeah. And to add on to that, I have watched like a few like documentaries and a few YouTube videos on like the fat acceptance community, which is kind of what you were talking about, the like, you know, beauty at any size, anybody can be healthy. You can't tell someone's health by their size, all that. I mean, I don't have to like define it. I'm sure we all know what the fat acceptance community is. And what I've learned in some of these documentaries, I don't know how accurate it is, but I do know it's a thing, that whenever these people that are in that community decide to lose weight and get healthier, then they get like disowned. And then their community, the body positive fat acceptance community, will disown them and just say, you betrayed us, you know, and kind of shun them for, you know, getting in better shape. So it's kind of like a hypocrisy thing that, you know, it's okay to be big. It's okay to have extra weight on you. Big is beautiful, all that. But then when somebody is on the opposite end, very, very in shape, then it's a bad thing. And you should let them know. Because it's funny, I always say this when somebody does comment things like that. This is my most common comment, I would say, in this sort of genre of fit shaming, is usually guys will say, go eat a cheeseburger. And they think they're so clever. They think they're the first one that thought of this joke, and that I'm going to now eat a cheeseburger because this random dude online said to eat a cheeseburger. And I usually reply something along the lines of like, okay, I get where you're going at here, but let's say this, my roles were reversed here. Would it be okay and acceptable and funny for you to say to somebody that's overweight, you need to stop eating cheeseburgers? Like, I just don't see that to be as, like people, most people would say, oh, that's a horrible thing for telling an overweight girl to stop eating cheeseburgers. Then why is it okay for you to tell an in-shape person to eat a cheeseburger, insinuating that I'm not fat enough?
Yeah, no, totally. That's
like this double standard that it's okay to like put the in-shape people down, but if it's a fat person or somebody that's overweight, don't you dare, don't you even dare insult them about their weight. So it's kind of like this big double standard that I have yet to figure out why it's okay.
it's a strange concept, because like when you think about it, like I think about things in terms of like data and numbers and health. And it's weird that like the fat acceptance community exists purely based on the health reasons of it, you know? So I think, you know, whatever, body type, I really don't care. You know, if you're happy with it, great. But the, you know, I don't think it's unattractive in any way. But the reality is that 18% of U.S. related deaths are obesity related. 18% ages 40 to 85. So that's like me and you doing, like starting a smoking acceptance community. We're like, hey, let's do a smoking acceptance community. And everyone who doesn't smoke, like just doesn't understand, you know, and like, no, it's clearly defined. Smoking is, you know, deadly. It has 1,300 deaths per day in smoking in the United States. And so, like, I just don't understand how it's one thing's accepted that's actually higher than smoking related deaths. So obesity is 18% of all of our deaths from 40 to 85. So how is that even like a conversation, right? How is that even a conversation versus like, but smoking is so bad, right? Like, no, it's worse for you than smoking. Being obese is worse for you than smoking in terms of raw numbers. So like, why is that acceptable? And now why all of a sudden is fit shaming like an acceptable thing we're talking about? Like, you're almost like health shaming. And so it's weird, you know? Yes. I just don't. So like when you start putting it out in like terms of that, it's like, yeah, that is a little bit dumb that people even can go there. Hey, you're so healthy, you need to eat more and get more unhealthy. That, like, can you imagine just saying that? And it's the exact same thing. It's just different verbiage, right? It's the exact same thing. It's like, you're so healthy, you should start smoking, because you're just, it's the same thing. It's actually better, right? It's actually better for you than if you were to just gain body fat. So like, why is it accepted? You know, and I think that, I wish that hopefully some of those, they're not going to listen to this podcast, only fit people or people who are trying to be fit will listen to this podcast. But that is like the strange polarity of this like idea of fit shaming. It's just so crazy to me. Yeah. So I mean, you should be like giving out awards. Hey, you're healthy, how'd you do that? You're healthy, you know. But it's not, it's like, hey, you have abs, eat a cheeseburger and come join us with the people who take less better care of ourselves.
Which it's like funny thing, because I guarantee you, maybe I should do this social experiment one time just to prove it. Like, if I were to post a photo of me eating some chicken breasts and vegetables and say, hey, I eat this 4 times a day or whatever, there will be people that be like, oh my gosh, you need to eat more. That is so bad for you. Oh my God. Like, I can't believe you're eating that. You need more carbs or whatever their thing. But if I were to post a picture of me eating burger and fries or taking shots at a bar, like, people would not bat an eyelash. They'd be like, oh, looks delicious. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so funny. But I'm right on the same page with you. I don't think there's any body type that's ugly. I think anybody can be beautiful. It's the matter of, are you promoting this to be healthy? Or are you, you know what I mean? That's where it's kind of like, eh? Although I will say, even if somebody was promoting that to be healthy, I would never go out of my way to be like, no, you're unhealthy. Stop telling lies. Like, I'm not that person. I'm not trying to be controversial, and I'm not trying to pick arguments or debates. I would never do that. But I mean, when people try to like come at me, and then it's kind of, that's when it becomes weird, because it's like, you're going out of your way to prove that I'm unhealthy, but I'm not. Like, yeah. You know, I think you're totally right on that. Like, since the majority of the population is overweight, that is becoming the norm to be overweight. So anything less than the norm is automatically unhealthy and bad.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. So I guess that's it. That's our podcast and my rant. But hopefully you guys got to summarize and come up with like our synopsis of this, is that, you know, there's a lot of pressures coming from outside of, you know, people who just don't understand what you're doing, who can't do what you're doing. Some are jealous of what you're doing. Some don't like.
They'll never say it.
Yeah. Some just don't like the look of what you're doing, and that's, you know, that's fine too. But you do it for you. It is healthier to do this the way that we do it if you're in the safe parameters, of course. We're talking about ideal health. You know, not in the too far and not in the too far in the other direction. And so keep doing it and do it for you and educate, you know, talk about those things, talk about those subjects. There's nothing wrong with that. So anyway, with that, I guess we will bid you adieu. Where does that come from?
I don't know. Sounds French or something.
That's where I was going. That's what I was thinking. Adieu. Huh. Okay. All right.
Let us know what it means.
All right. With that, guys, we're out. Thank you so much for watching. We'll talk to you next time.
Eat a cheeseburger. Bye.
Eat a burger. Bye.